So this is about family matters, and it's a little bit hard to hear sometimes about a divided house. It's a little bit hard to hear Jesus dismiss his mother who's standing outside and concerned about him and what's going in that house. There's a whole lot of things in this particular passage that's a little bit disturbing to hear, because family matters get personal, don't they? But Jesus is talking about a different family, the family of God. And if you think about us gathered here, we're part of the family of God, aren't we? If we look around, everybody here is a brother or a sister in Christ. Everyone here is part of the family. And as Jesus is talking to this crowd, because there's a crowd, poor man can't even eat. And all I could think about was poor Amy Smith when she was talking about her wedding and her reception and planning the menu. And someone said to her, well, bride and grooms never eat because they're too busy. And she's like, I have to eat. I'll have a migraine if I don't eat. Well, this is that kind of gathering where Jesus is being overwhelmed by people and overwhelmed by his teachings that no one can eat because it's just too busy. But it's also his teaching is disturbing people. And because his teaching is disturbing people, the house of God is becoming divided. So let's break this down a little bit. Jesus is proclaiming that the time has come when God would save his people. Jesus is proclaiming that we are called to free the enslaved, to heal the sick, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to care about the alien in our midst. Jesus is proclaiming a message of otherness, that our focus shouldn't be on us, the family. Our focus should be on those who are outside our family that we want to call in. Our focus should be on the outside of our family who are in need of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. That's where our focus needs to be. Well, he's proclaiming this to people whose focus has kind of been an internal focus. They've been concerned about following the laws of Moses. They've been concerned about purity. They've been concerned about keeping their house clean. They've been concerned about things inward, things that are the big capital I things. Me, 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 me. So when Jesus is saying, no, it's about them, 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 they're a little bit divided because they would really like not to hear that. They would really like not to get dirty, because they're going to get dirty if they go out in those unclean places. And they're going to have to purify. They're going to have to do all those things so they can come back and be in the temple. So his teachings are teachings that are breaking down the system. They're a system of change. But they're not a change in God's direction. God's direction has always been, what did he say? That you are to remember you were once an alien in a strange land. God's teachings are always about the other. God's teachings are always about repentance. God's teachings are always about forgiveness. God's teachings is always about bringing into this family those who are broken, so that as a family, we can be part of that process that God uses to bring healing and reconciliation. But that was threatening to people. So they didn't want to hear it. So they decided, well, we're going to say he's from Satan. We're going to decide this man is crazy because he's telling us to go get dirty. And we're not supposed to get dirty. We're supposed to stay pure and clean. So let's go get his family and tell his family to come bring him under control. That's sort of like telling, you know, your mother, can you put my younger brother in control here? He's completely out of control. Mom, handle him. And that's what they were saying. Mom, come handle Jesus, because he's stirring up trouble here. He's got to be crazy. And Jesus says, no, that's not my mother. Now, before you think he's disowned her, remember at the cross. Remember at the cross, when he's dying, one of the last things he does before he dies is to make sure his mother's taken care of. That John This is your mother. This is a moment in their life, in the life of this family, when the family is trying to protect the son who everyone's calling crazy, so that he will continue to live. So mom's coming to his rescue, but also mom's coming because, son, can you imagine what she was saying? Son, you're stirring up the masses. They're going to hurt you. Please, come on. This isn't what you're supposed to do. That's what mom wanted to do. But Jesus had a different parent. Jesus also had God as his father. Jesus' calling has been to make the family of God not divided, but one body. One body in unity, working for the will of God to bring about the transformation, the reconciliation of the world to God. And in order for us to do that, we can't be divided. We can't be thinking about our own well-being, our own safety, our own security, our own sense of property, our own sense of space. We've got to be thinking about the ones who need to hear the message of salvation. We've got to be thinking about the ones who need to hear that they are loved. Some may be here in our family now, as well as outside. But as far as family matters go, one of the ways that we teach the world about the reconciling love of God is to reconcile within the family. I don't know if you remember, about 5 years ago, I had my first family reunion ever. My parents had been dead dead for quite a few years, and we were finally getting together, and the messiness was more than one of my sisters could really handle. She didn't want to come back to another family reunion because there was too much messiness. But the reality is, I love the messiness because I love my family. And I can't be with them and expect anything else but mess, because we're broken people. But each one of them, my brothers, my sisters, my nieces, my nephews, my grandnieces and nephews, each one of them is this marvelous, marvelous gift to me. And I don't get to see them except once a year. So I can handle messiness for 2 or 3 days. But you know what I long for? I long to live amongst them. Now, I know the messiness wouldn't go away. I might go crazy like Jesus, but I long to be near them because they're my blood. Because they're these beautiful people whose lives continue, and I don't get to share in the ups and the downs, the ins and the outs, except on maybe a Facebook post or a text that comes my way, or maybe an opportunity when I get to go see them. And that longing for my family sometimes just wears on me. So I thought about God and Jesus Christ and their longing for their family, which is every single one of us. And how they must long for us to be together. Long for us to be reconciled to one another. Long for us to be reconciled with them. Long for us to be hanging out and spending time with them, even in the messiness of our lives as human beings. Even when we can't get along with each other, God wants us in God's presence. God wants us to work through that rough space, because the mess may become a blessing. Because the mess may teach us about God's unconditional love. Because the mess is where we find out we need one another. When we find out how much we need God. When we find out how important it is to be connected to one another. Jesus is talking to a people who had wanted to build walls instead of bridges, who wanted to be so isolated that everyone could know that they were the Hebrew people, they were the chosen people. But they were becoming the frozen chosen and not allowing anyone in and harming one another because of their rules and regulations. And Jesus said, that's not what God called us to be. God called us, God's people, to be a light to the nations, to the world, so that the world could see what true family looks like. And what true family looks like is even in the midst of the mess, we still love. Have you ever loved someone who irritated the crap out of you? I think crap's an okay word to say in a sermon. Haven't you? And you'd be sorely missing them if they weren't part of your life. That's the important piece about being the family of God, about being brothers and sisters in Christ, that sometimes even the preacher is going to be irritating and pick you to sing hymns you don't like or don't know and have too many words and where'd she get that one? Or the preacher might decide we have to do this or do that. And we're going to get irritated with each other because we love and because we all have that same one purpose. And that's what Christ is talking about. As the body of Christ, as the family of God, what is a blasphemy to the Holy Spirit is when we say we are followers of Jesus Christ and then choose not to go where he sends us. That's the blasphemy. It's not saying, I don't want you, Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit can still come and say, but I want you. It's when we know that relationship, we know where we're going, and we say, next week, okay? I'll be ready next week. I'll have my gear packed then. Then maybe I'll go, but, you know, I have a hair appointment, and car needs tires, and maybe next month I'll go, Jesus. When we know where we're to go, and God sends us, we go. If we don't go, we're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. When we choose to not love our neighbor, we're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. When we choose to love unconditionally, even the ones who irritate us, God does marvelous things in the midst of that choice. And it's not an easy choice, and it takes a long time to make it. So don't feel like, oh, I'm not loving them today. I'm blaspheming. No. It's a work in progress. We are a work in progress. That's what sanctifying grace is about. It's that continual working and reworking and reworking to get sin out of our own lives, so that all the world sees is God and Jesus. I, for one, am blessed to call all of you my brothers and sisters in Christ. I, for one, am grateful that you often forgive this very crazy pastor. And you don't call my parents, but you can't, because if they come down from heaven, we're in trouble. We're in big trouble. You don't call Leo, but then that's crazy in itself. But I, for one, am just grateful that God has made such a garden of uniqueness and wonder. So when we have family issues, let's face them head on. And let's love one another through the mess so that God can take our mess and make a blessing to the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.